produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett.
Good evening, saints. Hope you are well. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. Praise you, Jesus. Hey, He's gracious and He's great. Kimudimu ya matla, kimudimu ya pela, kimudimu asa tulunkileto. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Wena tsepa Jehova, tsepa lihodimu fela. Wautla kere, tsepa lihodimu fela. Kosa utsepa lihodimu fela. Mudimu utla ubonza batu batwerin lihodimu. Thank you, Jesus. And mudimu utla ukonekta lebona. Utla batlisa bupilomba hao. So tsepa mudimu fela. Uska ipatlela, uska iketseta. Hey! Bomede bontato sa ipandela. Ndate mudimu unali a special breed of people aubets imbona. Special breed of people. People who will love you unconditionally. They will love you regardless of your weaknesses. They will love you because they love you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, how sa tlhaloganye mo kelelong ya gago, you are building something exciting, in existence. Or, you know, this is the caliber. Bona, before we talk about the caliber of people, the caliber is ijwaki mudimu. Mudimu oteba se hutwane ting. Hallelujah. So kibuwa kaye, you dwell when I get in the secret place of the Most High. You rest there. Your mind is just locked ka information erinje so wapila. So you are resting in that space. Your mind is just, you know what, convicted. This is how we're going to live. We are a nation. We don't believe in the same way. We don't believe in the same way. No, we don't believe in the same way. Yes, we don't. So, ubua likele loya hao, because you are a body, but you carry nations. So, one mistake that you do in terms of pride, and the enemy doesn't like that idea. So, utswe, ha utlwa ka go tlala ke boroko bo sa botsebeng o dutseng ka re ke bo le boroko o bo rebile, I want to take a power nap. Hey, don't take a power nap in the middle of your prayer. Do not do that, because it just take a minute for you to be distracted. A minute. Imagine when you cast a seed on a fertile soil. Kele seed ya tla modimo a itlisa, you are now fertile. Ke go sona le the character traits tse modimo a di batlang, the fruit of the spirit, eh? So kele he modimo a re wa itlisa seed a re ngwana ka jano ke nako gore go showcase ga gore ke mang. Ao mobu ke ole wa etsang wa riser o kwadile wa fetoga. Can you imagine that? Then the seed is an iba blown away. Because now, I can't feel that on a daily tour, I can't be located. So I'm saying this because in that demo, Obata fell rebelled the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. The mind of Christ. When you have the mind of Christ, Christ knew Hore, Tata Hake man. What is the situation at the Taton to Tata Hake man? Uska Shabaka permanent, Rona, rented the situation okar di permanent, Radifa matla. Hey. Don't give any situation matla. Unsore, Kim Huaro, Nako, sore so, Kim Huaka, whatever Nabatung, Bans, ever since Kilimunyan, insect fit and twist so, in a lung gets us, hey, as in Totsa Houtseo, tseba ho wena o romang mothare ke mgwa ka batho itse keng batho ba ba nrate wa tseba ha ba nrate since ke le monnyane le ko eso ba nrate e kwena wena ithate ithate because ha ba sa o rate aba khone ba borwa ke le rato le le ngata ngata le o aperetseng le rato le na le modimo re the depth the width the height the length o ka se le understander of love with an everlasting love so let's hang la ipona hatsa in your life praise you Jesus so wena o tlamile o dule dula mo lentsweng la modimo dwell it's a specified place a gona motho tsonsa go tlose ko yona ye o rubetse utlo ra o phila gantle bua bophelo o re I declare healing mo meleng o masapo o ko le qhaqhakeng o bue ngwana morena hle ha o bona nka re wa paretse ke dira o bue o re bona no weapon formed against me shall prosper akere go dula mo leng in the secret place o diriswa ke information le language ya teng gore go thiwang a go thothomelwe go bua matla a go etsetse example ya the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 Paul kyo u defender his ministry you know again you'll always be attacked for trusting God for believing God you've got a ministry as a building fail people will challenge you for holding on to God utlwa he Paul o reng ko verse 1 by the meekness and gentleness of Christ I appeal to you Paul who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. What? By the meekness and gentleness of Christ. What about the fruit of the Spirit? Because okase ho na u duti mole pela wape so anondoa wa ite mudimu ki ena fela utlaufa wisdom. So meekness and gentleness of Christ. I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid. When face to face with you, but bold when away. So meaning that when I'm alone, I don't entertain negativity. My strength is not only in you, brethren. You look at me, you say I'm timid, but when I'm away, I'm more bold. Praise to Jesus. That's why that portion of scripture are that I may know him, go to the book of Philippians, and share in his suffering. Yeah? Experience the power of his resurrection. It's because what no man, he decided to dwell in the secret place. Secret place, it means the poor thing, total thing, but nobody understand. But we are better. Ombuge nje uthi unjani. Ombuge hamba ngeenyawo. Saloko, soloka lokathi one day, Jesus, Jesus, ombeke. Ombuge lo. Wang understand because why you were the information ako the secret place praise to Jesus so ore I beg you that when I come I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world for though we live in the world we do not wage war as the world does the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Again, we are not people of the world, to church Paul. So even the weapons are not of the world. Praise you, Jesus. So, Mamela, which weapons do you carry? The word of God is your weapon. Hallelujah. So your weapon is not carnal, but your weapon is, let's read. Praise you, Jesus. I want us to read. I don't want to quote. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Hallelujah. So the weapons, they've got divine power to demolish strongholds. So when there is a stronghold in your mind, the word which is your weapon begins to break that stronghold. Ish. Thank you, Jesus. It is the weapons. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. And the weapons we fight with, they are not what? They are not of this world, but they are mighty in power to pull down what? Strongholds. This version says to demolish strongholds. And put a building up by demolition. It's a thought. a weight that is set against you, hey, it will destroy it. Again, when I mind out, let's take the weight. It will demolish arguments, what you want, and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So, those who decide to stay in that specified place believe that God is great and is the reward of those who diligently seek him. So when you diligently seek him, praise you, Jesus, and you are demolishing these arguments. Hey, said about you, or arguments about you, and the pretension. So our weapons, statement say one or assets or na. I guess on a discernment. One could la musaker. I'll just say the word at Tamudimkating, I said it's a Mudimkating. Eh, Utla the weapon, Erem exposer, the Holy Spirit, I. Kitala mans. Kitala mans, praise Jesus. Inkukaiku. Ore now. We demolish arguments and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive. So, every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So, Rona, we make sure badulang I. I can't say kibu akaruna kaufel badulang I in that secret place of the Most High. Every thought etlang reeta reholder captivity in captivity, and it should be obedient to the what to. The word of God, or be obedient to Christ. So, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. So, I love that part, latter part. So, you cannot be ready to do what? To punish every act of obedience, of disobedience, when obedience is complete. So, obedience is complete again. Balalintu. Rapela, botsa dipotso, tlhakanela le bana ba modimo, mo Holy Spirit will guide you, umlele. Etsa dintho tse jwalo, o tla bolela gore e ke fana ka lo, ena ke gold. So make sure that udula uli open-minded for the Holy Spirit to guide you. So ntho ya gore ga le pholositswe ke tseba dintho tse kaofela e ke gathetse, a di bereke, a leeto le a le so felile. Since we close our mouth, since we talk about our leading tone, total dieta, suffering brings patience, patience which builds character, you know, character which leads to hope which doesn't disappoint. Kicheni, aho feli, mudima letse khantle kya lerata, amen. Good evening, saints. Hope you're well. The Lord is good. The Lord is great. He's gracious. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. He is faithful from everlasting to everlasting. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Not only of this planet or any other planet you know, but of your own life. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, he who begins a good thing shall surely finish it. It means he began something with your life and he will surely finish it. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil because God is with you. His rod and his staff, it should comfort you because he will prepare a table before you. That's why I love the portion of the scripture because it doesn't say prepare a table before your enemies. He'll prepare a table before you. In the presence. So it means you need to see. You alone need to see what God had long in store for you. Praise Jesus. So he prepares a table before you. Hallelujah. Now the enemies come and witness what the Lord had initially said about you. But you need to acknowledge the Lord. You need to acknowledge that God exists. And he is the reward of those who diligently seek him. You need to acknowledge that when you call unto him, he will surely answer you. He will show you greater things that you never knew of. So once you know your story at that level, nothing will hinder your move. Praise Jesus. Hopola, you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You dwell, meaning that you live in that specified place, like we said yesterday. As you live in the specified space, there are instructions, there are character traits that you need to possess.
You know, I'm looking at the nation as I was just checking on what defines a nation. Hallelujah. So with a nation, there is an awareness. A nation needs this character. They need to be aware. Without awareness, then it means other nations will come and plunder your stock, plunder your assets, plunder your blessings. Do you hear what I'm saying? Your fields. And a nation has a history. There is a tree. People will tell you, oh, you've got a grandmother. Your grandmother was like this. Your grandfather was like this. So it means there is a history behind that nation. But you need to be someone who thinks like a generational thinker and say, I want to see this tree that I have become part of. Linna, give her a tree that is going to give glory to other people and give glory to God. Hallelujah. And you also need to understand how a nation has a culture. So we need all these character traits. A nation has a culture. A nation has a language. A nation has its own religion or its own faith. So when you are a child of God, you need to be spiritually alert. There is awareness of what is happening. Praise you, Jesus. How can you be aware? This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth. You should meditate upon it day and night so that you live according to it and prosper. Joshua 1, verse 8. So if you don't read the word, you buried the antenna, spiritual antenna. Did you tell the fats? Area thing you like ilasa network. Why? Because you don't know what God is saying. You are not sure of what God is saying. You are not even sure that God can speak through you or speak to you. And again, history. Then, as children of God, we need to understand that biblical heroes went through what we are going through. Some of them, they went through difficult times. Ratzeba, Horobo Stefano, somewhere where, you know what, they were killed, kamatlapa and whatever. And we're now also kawutwali letlapa le one for Jesus. Letlapa la haul fela le emotional, ali physical. So that's history. And history also tells us that God came through for all these people, regardless of how fearful they were. Some of them would cry out to God, some were panicking, but God came through for them. That's history. So the history of our hero should be a comforting spirit or a comforting dose unto our lives. Hallelujah. So we as a children of God, we also need to have a culture. Understand the culture. The culture of a child of God is that you saturate yourself in the presence of the Lord. You must always be in the presence of the Lord. And you must always cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. You must always have a conversation with God. Understand even the language, because the language is also a trait. You need to have an understanding of the language of the Holy Spirit. This thing, sorry. Bible, he overcame by the blood and by the word of his testimony. So when you overcome ka eng o sa tsebe lentswe la Modimo. So o khota lentswe la Modimo o re kulotsilwe. Hey, praise Jesus. Kulotsiwe. Hungwetse huthwe. Hallelujah. So this nation also have faith. Praise Jesus. So faith is what we believe in. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that there is a Holy Spirit. We believe that God is our Father. Hallelujah. So we believe in Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We also believe that we are tripod beings. So if I feel weak, then I need to reconnect with my Creator, because my Creator has granted me freely granted me the Holy Spirit, that I can connect and be reactivated. Praise you, Jesus. And when I feel like I'm weak, and as I declare a sentence or a word or anything that has been said against me, I begin to say in the name of Jesus, and I say whatever that I want to say. Praise you, Jesus. So you need to understand who you are. Understand your story, child of God. I mean, stop blame the situation. Mudimari, when you lack the traits, man. Hence, last time I was saying, your belt of truth is so weak, eh? It's so loose. God say, fasten it, eh? Your mind, the problem is with your mind. You don't want to dwell in this place. You don't want to understand what specifications from heaven communicate. I'm telling you, be aware, child of God. I'm telling you, and that I understand the history. I've done it for others. I'll also do it for you. Honale, a song that says, God doesn't forget. If he say he will do it, he will do it. If he said he will do something, he will do it for you. Praise Jesus. Everybody just keep on believing. God isn't forgotten. Praise you, Jesus. So he hasn't forgotten you. Just keep on believing. Just keep on believing. Hallelujah. So a child of God, have the language, understand the language. Ubuye lentswe, man. Utlwe situation etla, ubuye lentswe. Oska buwa ntho sa etsebeng. Utwaramolo, utwaramolo, ntswe, hutwi, hutwi. Utlwele competition na ukrema di scriptures. A di scripture di bereke, a ukrema di Bible verse, but understand the content and the context of the word. And utlabono hautla situation. Ukasirikana kibata John 3:16. A situation awi yemelulo petla Bible. Wena ijale ntwilena, eat the scroll. As you eat the scroll, you'll begin to amaze yourself. Utla nto utlo ukota that scripture. So, ha ntse o tlwaela jwalo o ntse o quote lentswe la Modimo, go tseba the chapter and the verse e se ba a bonus in your life. Why? Because ha ona nako ya o computer mona. Re bolailwe ke taba tse tsa o computer. So tseba Genesis to Revelation. I ke tsebe ke scripture se feng setlang after eng. What good does it bring if ke a tseba gore after this chapter ho tla eng, mare ke sa tsebe gore Modimo reng ko nna ka Genesis. The beginning, I don't understand. But since I keep complaining, So what I'm saying, God wants people that are disciplined, a nation that is disciplined. You know, that's why Bible read, for people who know their God shall do great exploits. If you know your God, you've got awareness, you understand your history of with Jesus, you understand the culture in the kingdom of God. Or in the kingdom of God, we don't just say hopelessness, we speak life. Hey, negativity. Lord, I'm healed. You said you are my healer. Praise you, Jesus. You said you are bringing healing and health. Hallelujah. So you also speak a positivity because faith is what is needed. Faith is what is needed. So a nation possesses a shared and distinct historically persistent cultural identity. I love that definition. It possesses a shared and distinct historically persistent cultural identity. So why kerata this? Because you share a distinct, meaning that other nations don't have this distinct trait that you have. But what makes you distinct is that you are persistent in your cultural identity. You are persistent. People can be able to relate. Ah, bale abatinto watse bakere di tlense umuntu ati mina ngumzulu khamga esikotinska ban ban musuthu he nna ke tswa thabeng jwang jwa nthotse wa di tsebakere batho ba abatintiwi batho ba tintiwa. But what I'm talking about here, I'm saying as a child of God, you should be persistent. Your cultural identity is that you should be persistent. When you want something, you must push. You must wake up from that bed. You must stop. Very early in the morning. Early hours of the morning. Kibona ba tizava ngore. Batsoge ka bo 8 ka bo 9. Wena o robala early, o tsoga late. O etsa eng? What cultural trait do you possess? And these people, they make up a majority within a given territorial area. So meaning that you need to be a majority. You need to rule. Mudimari, hey, wena, replenish and multiply. Hey, have dominion. O subdue the earth. So how will you subdue situations when o sa tsoge o le botswa? Because you have been given a territory. You are a nation. So I was using plural to say we are, but everybody in their loins, you have what you are carrying nations. I like what somebody said. Said Jeremiah was saying, God was saying to Jeremiah, I've given you what nations. Go chapter 1. So I've made you a prophet amongst nations or above nations. So know who you are above your nation. It's your territory. If you don't believe that you can make it in life, don't make it our problem. It's not a problem. It's what you think and it's what you are saying about yourself. Because now we understand the history and the culture and the language and the faith. And we are aware that our God is infallible. And we believe that our God possesses great things. Ronara believe. So don't make it our problem. If you are fearful, if you procrastinate, it's not a problem. Rona rekena in the jungle. Holy Joel, this work, will this not work? It's because we are territorial. We enter territories that are said to be, are deemed to be very, very, very dangerous. So it's up to you, child of God. Are you going to glorify God with your life, or are you going to watch other people as they succeed in their lives? Are you going to allow the fear of excelling, you know, to tell you, "Hore, ebabang banali greatness wena hauna yona." Are you going to allow the fear of change to hold you hostage? Change is here. So I bless you tonight, and I bless you tomorrow. May the good Lord do a double dose of what I'm saying right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Letsholenyane, produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to the listeners of Finding My Way Radio everywhere in the world. This is Apostle Jerzy Lair. Today we're going to talk about the importance of feeding our spirit. It is so very key that we are watchful of our spiritual diet, because if we want to grow, if we want to have a very mature, strong, nutritious spirit, we must definitely watch our diet. Actually, we will know that we are actually in this mess that we are in now because of what we ate from the Garden of Eden, when the devil, in the form of a serpent, came to convince Eve to eat from a forbidden tree, so eat a forbidden fruit, and that led us to be in the chaos that we are in. But praise be to Jesus, who came and rescued us to such a net. Let us find our foundational scriptures in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35, in the King James Version of the Bible. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." This is very key, like I said in my opening statement, that one of the things we need to know, which Christ himself has highlighted, is the issue of hunger and the issue of thirst. They play a very big role in a Christian life. They play a very, very important role in the life of a believer. Because if you have to go far, you must be fed well. If you have to go far, you must not be dehydrated. He addresses two things: issues of nutrition, issues of being fed for the road, issues of being well taken care of your liquids, which he equates it to test. We know water in the Bible equates to the Holy Spirit, bread equates to Jesus Christ. So the true core of a Christian walk with God. You can never go far with God if you are not eating the word of God. And who is the word if it is not Christ, who was with God in the beginning, who was God? And the Bible in John chapter 1 says, and the word become flesh. These are key things, because that which is spiritual is equated to what is natural. So there must be a very strong balance in a Christian life between what God has given us naturally to prophetically decode the spiritual issues or dimensions of what our natural realm is trying to communicate to us. No wonder the Bible says, and the nature is waiting for the true sons of God to be revealed, because there is so much spirit in nature, and there is so much nature in spirit. These things are more like hand in glove. Everybody has to know that when God created the universe, he made these visible things to depict to us the invisible things. So when Christ says, I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger. In other words, Christ is saying, if you have to be strong in life, you must eat the bread of life. In John, again, he continues saying, I am the life. But again, in John, he says, I am the bread of life. That means there is life, and then there is the bread of life. So in order for you to enjoy life, in order for you to endure life, in order for you to survive life, you must not only have life, but you must also have that keeps you strong, which is the bread of life, Christ himself. He says, he who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. These are two things, taking you back to the Garden of Eden. When the serpent came to Eve, he tested him in issues of what must be eaten, because what you eat, it definitely informs who will you be. So Eve was tricked and deceived by the serpent when the serpent said to her, you must eat the fruit, for God knows that on the day you eat, you shall be like him in knowing good and evil. So when we eat, there is a level of revelation that comes to us. But that which we eat is also equated to what shall be revealed to us. Because the devil says there is a food that when you eat, you become aware of what is evil and what is around you. And if that is the case, because we know there were two trees in the Garden of Eden, there was also the tree of life, which represented Christ. So in other words, then the devil can never point you to eat from that which will reveal the more of Christ in you. Whatever devil is projecting to you, revealing to you to eat, it has something to do with you feeding who he is in your life. Whatever you drink, it also reveals who he is in your life. Or if it does not reveal who he is in your life, it reveals who Christ is in your life. We can have a whole lot of examples. There is a whole lot of things that people drink. Some of such is the amount of liquor people consume, which tends to reveal who is in their heart. So what you eat or drink always reveals what is in you. Paul makes a powerful statement about eating and drinking. He says, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. There must be something that which we eat reveals. So today, and I want everybody everywhere as you are listening, when you read the Bible, you must have a revelation that you are feeding your spiritual man. So in other words, you need to be conscious of what you are consuming into your spiritual man. Will it make him strong or will it make him weak? The fact of the matter is that we have Christians who are truly malnutritioned when it comes to the word. They only rely and depend from the word that comes from the pulpit. From there, they don't even go home and verify the truth of what has been preached from the pulpit. That is why we need to be very, very aware that when the word is preached, let's make a follow-up to go see that which has been preached to us, that it comes from the word of God, because that's the food that will make or break us. So as we continue with this message, I want you to also look at Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel was actually challenged with the issues of what must be eaten. When the eunuchs that was submitting to the king, Nebuchadnezzar of the time, came with a diet that was meant to be eaten by all young lads. But Daniel purposing in his heart, that is verse 18 of chapter 1, purposing in his heart, watching the delicacies that are on the king's table. Because you must understand that in the issues of nutrition, it's not important to be full. Because you can be full of the food that is healthy. You can be full of the food that can make you have stomach cramps. You can be full of the food only to find that the food itself is poison. So what is very key about what you eat is not only to be full, but is also to understand what it does to you. Because there must be a change when you are on the right nutrition. Look at what these guys are saying to the eunuch, to King Nebuchadnezzar, say, give us 10 days. So in other words, when you are eating something nutritious, why should it take you 10 years to change? Why should it take you a lifetime to change? Because if it is so nutritious, it got to change you. And you are not the one who's going to say, look, I have changed. Your peers will testify that there is something about you. We all know if we have to take this practically, when you're on a special diet, those who last saw you having gained some weight, some pounds, kgs according to South Africa, you will find people noticing that because of the special diet that you are eating, you have shed some pounds. And you don't have to say it. They will say themselves that, what is it that you are doing? We see that you have lost some weight in your life. Only then you are able to say to them, no, I'm on a special diet. So in other words, when you are on a special diet, it shows. When you're on a special diet, it does not only give you a good shape physically, it also gives you health physically. If it does act physically, imagine the spiritual diet. We can't feed on the word of God and remain the same. Christ says something profound in John chapter 6, verse 35. He says, whosoever shall come and eat of this bread shall not hunger again. So in other words, some of the worldly things that we are hungry for can only be dealt with the word. Some of the worldly things that we are so thirsty and hungry for, that thirst cannot be quenched by the things that the world offers. It can only be quenched by what the word offers. We have a beautiful example in chapter 4 of John again, when Christ has a dialogue with a woman at the well of Jacob. When he comes and starts a dialogue with, where is your husband? And he says, I have no husband. He says, you have well said. That was the start of the dialogue. But the key thing in the dialogue is the issue of water. When Christ says, can you give me water that I may drink? And the Samaritan woman says, but you have nothing at all to get the water. Christ says, if you knew who asked water from you, you would actually ask water from him, because the water I will give you, you will not thirst again. Again, his revelation from above, Christ is saying that the move of this woman from one man to another man is a spiritual thirst that manifests with physical habits. So in other words, there can be physical habits that are actually pointing to your spiritual need. Remember that God is a God who is so full of grace and mercy. He will rather show up in your situation like he did to a Samaritan woman. So if we have to change our habits, if we have to change the way we look, if we have to change the way we speak, if we have to change our walk, we can only do it by taking our master's advice, who said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of this bread that I am, you shall never hunger nor thirst again. We need that because we are hungry for so many things. We need that bread because we are hungry for the things that are destructive to us and our family. We need the water that Christ says he is, so that we do not thirst for the things that are destructive to us. We don't need to drink things that reveals our nakedness. We need to be sober at all times. I love, this is what Paul says about the issues of drinking. He says we must not be drunk by wine that is full of dissipation. We must rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is also a contrast in that scripture. We must not be drunk with wine, but we must be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, therefore our quest and our thirst for other things is already quenched by the Spirit of God. We need to make sure that we are always filled with the Spirit of God and full with the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. We need Christ in our life. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. Without these two in our lives, we will be found wanting things after things, fashion, cars, houses, and everything else. Actually, I think that now what the gospel has turned out to be, it has turned out to be about what we wear, and it has turned out to be about what we drive. It has turned out to be where we stay. And all these things are natural signs of a spiritual cry. This is the message that I'm bringing to you across, that to feel your thirst, to feel your hunger, we need Christ. This actually became the highest test, because Christ upgraded this message from bread to meat, because he had some point he said to his disciples, if you want to be truly my disciples, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And they say, this is now too much of a teaching. And the rest left him. Only the revelator and the Peter kind of disciple was left with Christ, with a revelation that where can we go from you? Because issues of life springs from you. So it is very key that as we walk with Christ, we are able to go from one dimension of maturity to another dimension of maturity. And the only thing that can help us is to feed in the Word of God. We got to eat the Word of God. John says in the book of Revelation that I heard the word that says, eat the book. Eat is the book. And he says the book became bittersweet. We can no longer pick and choose what we need from the scriptures. We can have the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speaking to our heart. If it rebukes us, we got to repent. If it gives us a peck on the back, we got to praise. But we can no longer pick and choose what suits us from the scriptures. We must taste the bitterness of it. We must also taste the sweetness of it. This is what Exodus chapter 12 deals with it. When Israel is about to leave Egypt, God commands them to prepare a Passover lamb. And it says, you must eat the whole lamb. Nothing must be left. And that lamb was referring to the Christ who will hang on the cross later. And later, this is the Christ who reveals himself as the bread of life. Remember that they were also commanded to make bread without leaven, so that the bread stays fresh and stays longer. It is very key that the word we eat, we understand that it is for our sustenance. Remember when the word of God came to Elijah at some point and say, arise up and eat, for the road is so long. You must know that what you eat prepares you for the journey with the Lord. That is why you cannot compromise what you listen to. That is why you cannot compromise where and who prepares food for you. It is very key that you understand that the food you eat is going to prepare you for the road. We must understand that again, as we read our scripture in the basis and in doing justice to this topic, is that in the basis of what we eat, we are also preparing ourselves for a journey we do not know how long it is, only heaven knows. So in other words, whatever God provides for us, he knows that it is what we need for the journey. But having said that, as we mature in the Lord, we have also a responsibility to check what we are fed by those who are assigned to be the overseers of our souls. We must check. How do we check? Whenever a message is preached, one must go home and make a follow-up to it. Not just to criticize the message, but to make a follow-up until it sinks to your soul. I wish you hear what I'm saying. Not just go home to get a wet pen to keep what was said right and what was said wrong. There is nothing wrong with that, but the major thing should be that let me go back and eat again so that it sinks in my soul. It rejuvenates my body and refreshes my spirit and prepares me for a journey ahead. We need to eat the word of God. We need to feed in the word of God, for it is the food for our soul, body, and spirit. When we fail to do so, we do no justice to ourselves, and we can blame nobody. Paul says, by now you ought to be eating meat, but you still need milk. In other words, these are dimensions of what we eat. These are dimensions of food, and this food provides us different nutrition for our spiritual walk with God. It is not fair that one at the stage where he's supposed to be eating meat, but he is still feeding and drinking milk. We must grow up. We must upgrade from what we eat. It would not be naturally correct, neither naturally accepted, when a child forever feeds on milk and never go to solid food. By now, we need to be Christian in our churches that are ready for eating meat. Cannot again get offense from the word that came from the pulpit when you're no longer a milk Christian. You cannot be offended again by a prophecy that seeks to push you towards your destiny when you are no longer a milk Christian. Remember, meat requires teeth. You can't eat meat if you don't have teeth. That is why as you grow, you develop teeth naturally. I wish that you also do the same spiritually, because the teeth actually are preparing you for solid food, because the teeth are a sign that your body is ready for something a little bit stronger than what you have been drinking. So you must also take notice that we move from drinking to eating. It is very imperative that the Christian must understand this dimension of food and the nutrition thereof, which are a symbol spiritually, that we move from drinking to eating. At some stage, we also milk drinking with eating, because these two also works for the easily digestion of what is fed in our spiritual life. We must grow. And as we grow, we also come to a dimension where our food is not only prepared by somebody else, but is also prepared by us. So we can no longer, as we mature spiritually, blame somebody else for our growth and maturity, because we must come from drinking to eating, from eating to prepare what we need to eat, not only rely on a Sunday sermon service that is going to be dished to us by our pastor. There is nothing wrong with that. But as we mature, we must come to a place where we are also eating food that is prepared by us. That is also even more powerful, because if you prepare food yourself, you know what goes to your pot and you know what comes out of your pot to your plate. So it's very key that as a child of God, we mature in these dimensions. We launch into the deep. We are no longer children tossed to and fro. We are now matured in issues of doctrine, that there is no devil from hell that can such a powerful message, and we say amen, because we are not sure whether it is or it is not. We must be able to say a truth from hell is equal to a lie, because there comes a time, and that time is now, where false prophets are all over the world, and they don't just come empty-handed. They come with look-alike, real prophecies and miracles. But when you are matured enough, you don't get fascinated by such. The last dimension that I want to dish out is that as you mature, you choose the things you eat and you choose the places where you eat, because you are matured. It doesn't matter how nicely decorated the food can be and the plate can be. If you are not interested, you won't eat. That is the Daniel dimension, because I know for sure the delicacies from a king's table are truly the delicacies. But it takes a mature man to say, I'm not only looking for nice things, I'm also looking for nutritious things. May the good God bless you as you digest this message, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Wherever you are listening, I pray that the Lord will bless you, will multiply you, and expand your territory as we mature and grow together in the things of the Lord. Launch into the deep. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa, and welcome to this broadcast today. Starting off scripture today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 9 to 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. I'll make of thee a great nation. Obviously, we know what happened. Moses stood there in the gap, convinced the Lord, or reasoned with God, not to wipe out the nation of Israel, because he had compassion for them, although the Lord had really had enough with the ways of the Israelites. But then when we continue further, the same Israelites that Moses advocated for ended up costing him the promised land. What am I saying? What Moses was supposed to do was, he was just supposed to obey God. He was supposed to let God do what he should do. You are supposed to not look back. Moses was just supposed to let the Lord be, let the Lord do his will. And there, I know, or I guess, he would not have been promised, he would not have been costed the promised land. Moses was supposed to not look back, because in looking back, that's what cost him the promised land. Let's read. let's read another scripture from the Word of God, which is from
the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 26. This is when Lot and his family were being rescued from the land that was condemned of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Let us read this again. But his wife, which is Lot's wife, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Had she had not looked back, she would have not died in vain. She would have survived with her family. She would have been saved. But, hey, she looked back the same way Moses looked back, advocated for the Israelites instead of allowing the Lord to do his will and just focus on what's ahead or what God has planned for you instead of looking back. Looking back costs a lot. It could be with a friendship that has ended. I myself have personal experiences of such things. I've come to note that we sometimes get controlled by emotions or memories instead of just accepting that some things are ought to be the way they are, and we're not supposed to look back. It is when we look back where we really sabotage our own destinies. We sabotage God's plan in our lives. Look at Moses in the book of Exodus. He spoke in behalf of, he advocated for the nation of Israel. But the same nation caused him his promised land. The same nation that he spoke for to the Lord or advocated for to the Lord caused him his promised land. Look at Lot's wife, who was turned into a pillar of salt just by looking back. My brothers and sisters, no matter how precious things were or how much they have costed us or what kind of memories we may have concerning things that have passed, may I advise you, especially if it's in the Lord's will not to look back, let us not look back. There are some things, yes, we have invested a lot into emotionally, financially, or time-wise. But the thing is, we should not look back. Let the past be the past. We cannot occupy the past. We cannot be occupied by the past in our present. There's bound to be trouble when that takes place. You are going to be stagnant. And in being stagnant, you are going to cost yourself the promises of God in your life. Yes, it's true. I've come to note with my personal experiences too, those friendships that have ended. Ones I held dear to myself. When I tried to rekindle the friendship, It was worse than it was in the beginning, because Its time had expired. I had to not look back. I had to focus on what's ahead and not preoccupy myself with what has already passed. Imagine if Moses had allowed the Lord to do his will instead of looking back on how the Lord saved the nation of Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. Wouldn't he have had the promises of God fulfilled in his life? But the reason why the promises were not fulfilled is not because God is not faithful and just, but it is because he looked back. Moses looked back, just like Lot's wife. She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. I love what my old man says, or what he said to me once when I ended a certain relationship with someone. This was around last year. He said to me, if you think you've been costed a lot, believe me when I tell you, there was more to lose than you thought that you already lost in it. No matter how much the cost is, or the loss that you have suffered, there are still more to lose. There is still more to lose when you look back. My brothers and sisters, I encourage you, may we please not look back. May we please not look back. Let's also go to another scripture, which is Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Let me end it on verse 2. When the Lord tells you to leave certain things, he wants to bless you. He doesn't do it out of punishment, but it is for your best interest. He knows what he has for you. But the problem is, when you try to look back, when you try to hold on to the past, you really sabotage yourself, not really God's plans, but you sabotage yourself from witnessing God's greatness. You cannot be born again and still desire to live according to the flesh. You need to die to self. Again, don't look back, because when you look back, you will be costed a lot. It is not worth your while to look back. Imagine that Abraham had not obeyed what the Lord has said unto him. Would he be blessed? We hear of many, 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 many descriptions of Abraham. You know, we even have songs of Abraham's blessings are mine. He's a father of nations, you know. Would he be a father of nations had he had not obeyed God, had yet looked back instead of leaving what the Lord had told him to leave and not look back? Would he be a father of many nations? would he be as blessed as he was, had he have not obeyed God? The answer to that is simple, is simply no. Imagine if Moses had allowed the Lord to do his will. Where would Moses be? Would he had not had his promise from God? But it is the problem of looking back that caused him the promise that God had for him, and which is sad. How many things have you costed yourself by looking back? How many things, my brothers and sisters, have you costed yourself by looking back? Some have even lost their lives, like Lot's wife, turning into a pillar of salt because of looking back. There's even, in the New Testament, where Lord Jesus instructed Peter to be a fisher of men, not to go back into what they were doing, being fishers of fish, but being fishers of men. But he did that after a whole lot of errors that Peter committed, after denying the Lord Jesus. And he did what the master commanded him not to do. But to his credit, though, he at least he died an honorable death for Christ. Although the key thing was, he was not supposed to go back. He was not supposed to look back on what he used to do. But then let's go back to Moses. What about Moses? I don't think Moses was supposed to die in the way he died. His death, to me, it looks like it was in vain, you know. Being healthy. You remember what the Bible describes? He was healthy. His eyesight was very well. There's no physical defect on him. There's nothing that he lacked physically, an old man that he was, but the only thing he lacked, or one of the things he lacked, was the promise, the promised land. Brothers and sisters, believe me, it's not worth it. My old man tells me all the time that emotions are very unstable. You cannot base your decisions on emotions. Imagine if we based our decisions on emotions. How would this world be? Emotions being so unstable. Emotions change like weather. Moses had compassion, I'll give him that. Although not using wisdom, it cost him the promised land. Lot's wife looked back, and look, it cost her life. Abraham left his country, left his father's house, and look, the Lord indeed was with him, and he is now known as the father of many nations. The Bible describes him as a blessed man because he did not look back. He did not look back. Let us learn to trust God. Let us stop trying to figure God out and trying to be God. There is a reason why God instructs us and we need to trust him and have faith in God. And part of that is having faith. Yes, it is in having faith and not looking back. Do not look back. No matter how precious it looks, don't look back. Especially if you have been instructed by God. not look back, it's not worth your while. I'm talking from personal experience. There are things I hold dear to me, but they are no more because I was instructed by the Lord not to look back. I do not want to be cost my promises in God. Nothing is precious on this earth that I would really be willing to sacrifice God's promises concerning or regarding my life. Brothers and sisters, let us not look back. There are many stories of those who did not follow or the will of the Father, whose lives did not really turn out the way they were supposed to, who fell short of the glory of God. I know for certain I do not want to be amongst the people on those on that list, among the list of those people who have been costed their promises in God. No matter how precious you may think it is, don't look back, brothers and sisters. It is not worth your while. Let us trust in God. I love the word of the word of Scripture that says, "Each day has troubles of its own." Stop worrying about what you're gonna wear tomorrow, what you're gonna eat. Have you ever considered who feeds the birds of the sky? Have you ever witnessed birds stressing? No, because God takes care of them. What more, people who are made in the image and in the likeness of God. Don't look back. Do not look back. If there's one thing I know, whenever I disobeyed God and was taken by emotion, and I was taken by emotions, I regretted taking the decision of looking back. Maybe my situation is not like Lot's wife, and neither like Moses, but I regretted looking back. That now, when God tells me not to look back, I have confidence in God, which is faith, that no, He will take care of me. He always does and always will. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. More especially when I know that I am in His will and I'm doing the will of the Father. More especially if I'm doing the will of the Father. Look at the Lord Jesus. He was a carpenter for most of his adult life. When he started doing, well, he's in the will of the Father, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, and doing what he came here to do, which was becoming the ultimate sacrifice, the sinless Lamb of God, being crucified for our sins. Had he looked back, this world would have been in jeopardy. You remember how the wrath of God in the Old Testament used to burn against men? Even the blood of animals could not wash away our sins. We needed the blood of His Son, His one and only begotten Son, to wash away our sins. Imagine if Lord Jesus had not said, "Father, let it be your will, not mine. Let it be your will, not mine." Imagine had He had not done that, where would this world be? We would not have had salvation, neither the Holy Spirit, neither has sins been washed away. We wouldn't have. Imagine if Lord Jesus had not been selfless. He that knew no sin. Imagine if He had looked back into carpentry, carpenting, that carpenting was less threatening. Carpenting was less emotionally draining than knowing that he was going to be crucified. You remember the word of Scripture says, "Lord Jesus, asked, may this cup pass. But Father, let it be your will and not mine." Imagine if Lord Jesus had looked back, where would we be? Brothers and sisters, not looking back is not only about us, but it's about also our neighbors. It's also for those who are parents, for children. Let us not look back. It doesn't just cost us, it costs also those who depend on us when we look back. If there's one thing I would like all of us to remember, my brothers and sisters, is may we not look back. Let us allow the Lord to be. Let His will be done. And let us not look back.
Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chico Tu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Anna Motsana from South Africa on Finding My Way Radio Network. And the program is Refreshing Times. And I bless the Lord that we are connected once more to share the word of God together. I trust that the Lord will refresh your spirit, renew your mind through His word today. My topic for today, we're talking about how to overcome our daily challenges. So my topic says overcoming daily challenges, and I'm reading the word of God from Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin but so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We are in the race, and we need to remember whenever we encounter challenges on a daily basis that we are in a race. And the word of God says we must take to run on your race. Yet you have so many things that you are carrying, you won't be able to run as fast as you are supposed to, but instead you will slow down. So because of these things that are happening in our lives, we find ourselves slowing down now and then because of the challenges. But today we are talking about how can we overcome these challenges on a daily basis. We need to remember that God is on our side. We need to remember that in everything that we come across, we are not alone. God is with us. He's taking care of us. He's fighting on our behalf. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says that the Lord is going with us. He is fighting against our enemies, and He gives us victory. And we need to remind ourselves this all the time when we encounter challenges. We encounter challenges on daily basis, but we need to come to a point where we are able to trust God for every challenge that we encounter, and we are able to overcome the challenges. God does not want us to live our lives in fear and not knowing what to do and always feeling down as if the Lord has forsaken us. But He wants us to live victoriously. He wants us to overcome. The word of God says that if we are born of God, we overcome the world. So we need to remember that whenever we encounter daily challenges, that we are born of Him. And because we are born of Him, we overcome the challenges that come through into our life on a daily basis. So the Word of God says here, let us lay aside every weight that slows us down, and let us run our race with patience. Now, running the race, we need to run the race with patience, not comparing ourselves to other people, not comparing ourselves to their pace, because if we do that, you will then realize that other people, their race might seem as if it's faster than yours, or yours is slower than theirs. So don't run your race focusing on other people, but run your race and focus on your race, and run your race with patience, trusting the Lord in every, to take you through every step of the way. So I'm saying today, let us focus on overcoming the daily challenges that we come across in our personal lives. Number one, we need to position ourselves. When you read Exodus 14:14 says, position yourself, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord brings us salvation when we are standing still and when we are trusting Him with the challenges that we come across. Most of the time when we go through challenges, we want to start first by trying to sort out things on our for ourselves, but we need to come to a point where we be still and know that He is God, and allow Him to fight on our behalf and allow Him to intervene in our daily challenges. So we need to position ourselves and remain calm and trust the Lord in the daily challenges that we come across, so that the Lord can bring us victory. And we also need to bear in mind all the time, whenever we are faced with challenges and difficult situations, that the Lord will bring us victory. Yes, victory is for us, but the battle is definitely not ours. The battle is of the Lord, and we need to allow God to fight on our behalf. That's what God wants. Hence, He says in Isaiah 30, verse number 18, He says, I desire to be gracious upon you. So the Lord all the time, he desires to help us. He desires to rescue us. He desires to intervene in our daily situations and daily challenges that we encounter. We shouldn't come to a point where we tend to think that there are challenges we can hand over to Him, and some of the challenges we can come up with our own solutions. But we need to allow God to intervene in our lives in all challenges, whether they are small or they are big challenges. But let us allow God to intervene. And number two, when we read the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. And we need to be prayerful on daily basis. We need to trust the prayer like our own breath. You know, we can't make it without prayer. And we need to come to a point where prayer, it is our lifestyle. It is not something that we struggle to do, meaning that we need to be prayerful whether things are going well in our lives and whether things are not going so well in our lives. But we need to trust in the power of prayer and be prayerful ourselves and depend on prayer, because prayer, it is a method, it's the only method that we can communicate with the Lord with. It's that moment where you are able to tell Him about your worries, to tell Him about your fears, to tell Him about your frustrations. And we need to make that time where we come and we lay everything before Him, so that He can be able to fight on our behalf and to help us in our time of need. So prayer, we cannot do without prayer. We need to be prayerful like Paul and Silas. We remember the Word of God in Acts 16:25. The Word of God says that when after Paul and Silas were thrown into a cell after being beaten, instead of focusing in the pain, instead of focusing in what was going on at the time, they chose to rather pray and praise the Lord. And we need to do that on our daily basis as we encounter challenges, as we go through the valleys, as we go through difficult times. We need to trust the Lord and forget about the pains and forget about the hurts and forget about the discouragement, the disappointments that are happening around our lives. Let us focus on prayer, even if it is hard at times to pray. Just force yourself to do it. Just force yourself to do it because you need God's intervention in everything. So let us be like Paul and Silas and learn to fully depend on prayer. As they were praying and as they were praising God, the prison doors open up, and there are things that our prayers, there are things that our praise will bring, our prayers and praise will bring us victory as we depend more and more on that. It is a weapon that God has given us. Prayer, it is one of the powerful weapons that God has given to us. Praise is a powerful weapon that the Lord has given unto us, and we need to use this weapons in our daily challenges and trusting God at the same time to help us to conquer all the battles that we come across on our daily battles. So we need to communicate to God everything that is happening in our lives. We need to communicate with them whenever we're feeling down. We need to communicate with them. We need to tell him our worries, our fears. We need to speak to God about everything that is happening in our life so that God can continue to fight on our behalf, so that God can continue to help us on our journey. And we need to remain focused on him, not on the challenges that we are coming across. There are so many things that are happening. If we will allow the challenges that are happening to move our focus from the Lord, then we're going to be distracted in most of the time. But we need to come to that point where we have learned not to focus on the things that are happening, not to focus on everything that the enemy throws at us. But let us lift up our eyes to the hills. Let us lift up our eyes unto the Lord and focus on him. Even if the challenges are forcing or you are going through too much of a pressure, but you need to come to that point where you are focused on God and on him alone. And as we focus on him, I believe that God will keep on renewing our strength and giving us a way forward. And as we focus on him, he will make sure that everything of ours is going as planned. Because when we start to focus on everything that is happening around, and we forget important things like praying, like praising, like fellowshipping, we forget important things that we need to be doing. So it's very important that even when we go through daily challenges, we need to remain focused on God, remain focused on Jesus, remain focused on the relationship that you have with him, remain focused and remind yourself that victory does not come to us. We don't bring ourselves victory, but it is God who brings us victory. And number three, and the word of God in Psalms 34, verse number 4, there David is praying unto the Lord, and he says, I prayed, and he answered, and he delivered me from my fears. And I want to encourage you that as we go through the daily challenges, fear not. Fear not, because the Lord is with you. Sometimes we go through so much pressure and we find ourselves fearful. But I want to encourage you to fear not and remind yourself that the Lord is with you, and the Lord, he will deliver you from whatever challenge that you are going through. Yes, you might be going through financial difficulties, maybe it's family problems, maybe it's marital problems, we can name all the problems, but whatever that you are going through, have no fear. Trust in the Lord, and the Lord will make a way for you. So David says here, I prayed, and he answered me, and he delivered me from my fear. So as we pray, the previous point that I've mentioned, as we pray as well, the Lord is able to deliver us from our fear, and he gives us relief as we pray and we draw nearer and closer to him. So let us not fear, but let us fix our thoughts on things which are positive. When we read Philippians 4:8, it says to us, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, on what is right, on what is pure, on what is lovely, and what is admirable. I know that sometimes because of challenges, we find ourselves and not fixing our thoughts on the positives, but we find ourselves fixing our thoughts on the negative stuff, things that are pulling us down. But I want us to pray this and try to do this as we encounter daily challenges, to fix our thoughts on things which are true. The word of God is true. The promises of God are true. So let us fix our thoughts today, even if things are not going our way, but let us encourage ourselves through the word of God and remain focused on the word of God and be very careful of the thoughts that we allow into our minds. Let us make sure that we allow thoughts that will build us up and not destroy us. Let us allow the thoughts that will boost more of our faith rather than boosting the fear. Because the more we are fearful, the more we lose our faith. So we need to be very careful as well on that, that whenever we go through daily challenges, let us not be fearful. Let us rather pray to God to increase our faith rather than the fear. So we need to come to that point where we overcome that as well. And if you can't overcome it, let it be your prayer item that, Lord, help me to overcome my fears. Deliver me from my fears, like David did. Pray unto the Lord. The Lord always wants us to live in victory, not to live a defeated life. So we need to try by all means to do it in the way that God, it will please God. So let us not be fearful. Know that God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And He is the one who is going with us. He is the one who is fighting against our enemies, and He's the one who's bringing us, victory. It is the intention of our Lord that to demonstrate His mighty power through us. So the challenges that we go through, they shouldn't make us feel like the Lord has forsaken us, or they shouldn't make us feel like we are not worth it or loved enough. But we should see it as an opportunity for the Lord to demonstrate His mighty power through us and through our challenges. If we don't go through challenges, people will never come to a point where they know the mighty power of God. It is through these tough times, it is through challenges, it is through difficult times where God comes through for us and overcome on our behalf, that people see the mighty power of God. So let us allow Him to allow the situations to come through our ways, so that He will be able to be glorified at the end. Number four, we need to remind ourselves on our daily challenges. We're speaking about overcoming daily challenges. So number four, let us remind ourselves that Jesus fought on the cross the battle for us, and He won all the battles for us at the cross. And He still continues every day to win the battles on our behalf. We need not to be afraid, because Christ has won all the battles on our behalf. On the cross, he won the battles. He fought the battles on our behalf, and He won them on our behalf. We are victorious today because Christ Jesus, He was nailed on the cross. Christ Jesus, He was crucified, and at that moment, He was winning the battles on our behalf. He fought against our sicknesses. Lord Jesus fought against our infirmities at the cross. He fought against the sin and death on the cross, and He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness to into His kingdom. At the cross, Christ Jesus has done it all, and He still continues to fight our daily battles. So let us not be afraid or try to fight our own battles, because Jesus is fighting our battle. He wants to fight those battles on our behalf. The word of God in Colossians 2, verse number 15, says that Jesus defeated the spiritual rulers and powers. With the cross, Jesus won the victory and defeated them. He showed the world that they were powerless. So at the cross, He defeated the spiritual rulers. He defeated the powers of darkness, and He won the victory on our behalf. He defeated all, and He proved to the world that everything else, it is powerless, and He is mighty. So we need to trust in the Lord as we go through this daily challenges and not try to fight on our behalf. Let us be still and know that He is God. Even if the storm can be so powerful, at times we want to do something to help, to remedy our situation, but we need to come to a point where we relax and we just allow Him to fight on our behalf, because I want to remind you that the battles, they are not ours, but the battles are of the Lord. So we don't need to fight in our daily battles, but we need to allow our Lord to fight on our behalf. Change number five, let us change the way we approach our daily challenges and start approaching our daily challenges in the spirit. Most of the time, whenever we go through challenges, we want to approach people, we want to fight people, we want to pray against the people who are against us. But the word of God, when we read Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, it says to us, verse number 12, that for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the rulers, the authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So we are wasting our time trying to fight against human beings, because our battle, it is not flesh and blood. We need to train ourselves on that. We need to fight our battles in a right way. We need, the word of God says in 11 that we need to put on all of God's armor, so that we will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. So we find ourselves trying to fight people using the wrong armors. Our armors are not carnal. The word of God says our weapons are not carnal. But our weapons, we use spiritual weapons to fight our daily battles. And we need to be to remind ourselves now and then that we are not fighting flesh and blood, but we are fighting against evil rulers. We are fighting authorities. We are fighting against mighty powers in this dark world. And if we can get that, we will realize that if we are fighting against such, then we need God in our battles on daily basis to fight on our behalf. And we need to use the correct weapons for our battles, because now when we fight, we are fighting using carnal weapons, and with the hands, we are losing so many battles in our daily life. But we need to come to that point where we realize that without Him, we can't be victorious. We are victorious because He is with us. He is going before us, and He's the one who's fighting our enemies. He knows how to approach our enemies. He knows how to fight our enemies, and we don't know, because we don't understand what we are fighting up against. So the battle is not ours. We need to remember that. The battle is not ours. The battle is of the Lord. What we need to do is to put on God's armor, so that we may be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the enemy. Number six, when you're facing daily opposition as well, remember that the word of God says we are not using the weapons which are carnal, but we are using the spiritual weapon. So as we fight in our daily battles, we need as well to come to a point where we stand against everything that is opposing the truth of God in our life. What is the truth that I'm speaking about? I'm speaking about the word of God. Everything else that is speaking and it's opposing what God has spoken all over your life, we need to come to that point of 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, where it says we demolish arguments. We need to wake up every morning during the day, just before we sleep, we need to come to that point where we demolish arguments and every pretension that set itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let everything obey Jesus Christ, and we need to do that on our daily basis, to demolish all the arguments, everything that is opposing the word of God in our lives, everything that is standing against the word of God in our lives. We need to come against that. And that the last one, we need to trust in the Lord.
We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, because when we put our trust in the Lord, He will never put us to shame. He will never put us into confusion. So every day we need to trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord on a daily basis. We trust on His abilities. We trust that He is able to make way for us. We trust that He will fight all the battles for us. And we just need to trust God completely and doubt Him, and have no doubt that God, and believe that God in every situation, He'll come through for us and He will fight on our behalf. So let us trust in the Lord and put our trust in Him, and be rest assured that if we put our trust in Him, He will never put us into confusion. Yes, the realities of this life and the facts of this life might make us to be a little bit doubtful, but we need to overcome that and pray about it, that the Lord will help us not to focus too much on the realities or to entertain the realities of life, but let us rather trust and believe in the Lord and His word and His promises, because they are true and they are amen in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We give You the praises and we give You the glory and honor. We pray that You will help us to overcome our daily battles. Father Lord, I pray and I'm confident that You who has begun a good work in us, You will carry us until its completion, Father. We thank You. We give You the praises. Continue to fight on our behalf. I pray for strength for each and every person who's faced with battles in their life. Father, we pray that You help them, mighty God, and help them to overcome and to win in their daily fights. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank You. We give You all glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Thank You. Until next time, God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.